Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Stop, buddy. No, no, we're changing it up. From now on and going forward, we're going to start doing adverts at the beginning of the pod.
We don't do that.
I listen to a lot of business podcasts and they always had adverts at the beginning.
Right,
and it's so money, okay? It shows you're a professional podcast. And think about it. As soon as people start listening to this, revenue starts coming in. I'm bringing the corporate world to this podcast.
All right. So
who are we advertising? Just give me a name.
Manscaped.
Right, okay. Manscaped. Guys, it's the magician here. Go and buy Manscaped. Summer is here, okay? You don't want to be on the common in a pair of budgies with your bush hanging out.
That's true. And that is actually very true.
It's a great present. Father's Day is coming up.
It is, yeah.
Okay? And there's nothing better than giving your father the present of being hairless.
No, I completely agree.
Just imagine being on the common, chucking the pill about with your dad, completely hairless, in a pair of budgie smugglers. It's the perfect gift.
And also, like, now that everyone can start dating again legally... You know, the winter of having the bush, keeping some warmth. But now, you know, girls don't like a bush, mate, do they?
No. Mate, this is a modern era, and it's time to be hairless.
Okay.
Done.
Okay.
That's the advert.
Well, guys, if you want to go and get hairless, there's no better partner than with Manscaped. So go to the Manscaped website, uk.manscaped.com, and get hold of the perfect package. Sort out the bush. Sort out those sweaty summer balls. Sort out the ear hair, nose hair. Sort it all out. And I guarantee you, the next time you see a chica, it will be a success.
Is there a code?
There is a code. Go to the website and put in the code REBIZ20. You'll get 20% off everything. That's 20% and also free shipping.
See? And now money is in our pocket.
You're welcome. More less.
Bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money. Now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 2, series 5 of the Rigbiz podcast. You'll be absolutely delighted, I'm sure, to know that Archie Curzon is alongside me, incredibly tanned, slightly burnt. Looks like you slightly overdid it on the bank holiday weekend, sir.
Mate, one way to describe my bank holiday, rig. I'll tell you now. Clapham know how to celebrate a bank holiday.
They do.
It's our equivalent of Christmas. And it was just great to be on the common and just see all the rigs come on to the Costa de Clapham and enjoy the sun. And at first, you know, there were quite a lot of pasty rigs out there. But I imagine by Monday, everyone was well tanned, looking so money. I mean, look, there were obviously a few people that let the team down.
Who?
Well, I saw a few leg tattoos, which is always very disappointing. A few sort of very skinny sort of cycling chassis out there. I saw a few sort of hemp-wearing sort of left-wing kind of people on the common.
That is disgraceful.
I actually had an idea that what I'd love to do is I'd love to work the door of Clapham Common.
There is no door of Clapham Common.
No, but what I'd do, one thing I'm looking at as the CEO of Clapham is to ring-fence Clapham Common and then just have a little door.
It's very hard to do.
Well, it's possible. We've got the money. And I'd just be on the door. And then it would almost be like a sort of a club basis. And I'd be the person that, you know, says, okay, mate, you're allowed in. Like, where do you go to school?
So you'd be the doorman of Clapham.
Yeah, so
the key keeper.
If they didn't have, like, a good chass, I'd be like, okay, mate, well, what do you do? Okay, work in insurance, perfect. Where do you go to school? Okay, you're in, mate, you're in. You know, what will you bring on the common? Okay, you're bringing tenants. Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, what have you got? Whispering Angel. Get in.
Get in there.
Yeah.
So it's actually not a bad idea.
No, it's strong. And then what we do is have like a membership, sort of a monthly membership. You charge people to come in the summer and enjoy, you know, Clapham.
So it's like Soho Farmhouse, essentially.
Yeah. One thing I was saying to one of the newest members of the Chassis Monsters, Pigeon Clapper.
Pigeon Clapper?
Yeah, we call him Pigeon Clapper because every time he goes over to birds, they fly away.
Right, okay.
Great chap. We were saying, when the weather's as good as it has been this weekend, Clapham is the closest thing to LA, outside of LA. Look, man, I'm gonna tell the listeners now and let you in for a little secret. I'm gonna hold my hands up. I went way above my calorie calculation.
Too many beers?
So, yeah, mate, the lash was just going down so well. Obviously, I enjoyed the lash this weekend. Hold my hands up.
Bank holiday, yeah, who can blame me?
Lock me up, but I have written the wrongs this week. I went on a 48-hour fast, cut back. The chassis is bad. I didn't want to be putting on any excess fat. And I've had a bloody good week in the office. It's just because, obviously, we're now coming back into the city. It's just great to have that vibe in the office. And I've actually brought back a bit of old school banter in the office.
What did you bring back?
Dead arms and bum flicks. And the boys and the girls, to be fair, have been loving it. I said, do not bend over when I'm nearby. You will get a nasty bum flick. One thing I wanted to bring up with you this week is that, you know, being back in the office, we don't have a strict suit policy every day because, you know, summer months.
Summer dress, yeah.
Yeah, and that's great because both in Blake come into play because you just look so business in their kit. It suits for all occasions. You know, I can be in the office in Beaufort and Blake and easily head into number 32, no problem. Converting in the office and converting in number 32.
You're saying they got clothes for all occasions?
Yes.
You're thinking about attending the polo, Beaufort and Blake. You're thinking about walking down the north with a drinks like Beaufort and Blake. You're thinking about after work drinks in the city, Beaufort and Blake. He's thinking about dates with a girl cause she's pretty, Beaufort and Blake. You're thinking about running miles round Lord's cricket ground, Beaufort and Blake. You're thinking about escaping the town to the country route, Beaufort and Blake. You're thinking about hitting up the Ned sometime like, Beaufort and Blake. You're thinking about getting ready for the night time, the time right, Beaufort and Blake. And you're getting ready for Inferno, Beaufort and Blake. You're getting ready to date your daddy for Father's Day, Beaufort and Blake. You're getting ready for summer, it's a summer's day, I say, Beaufort and Blake. You're getting ready for sunshine, right eye, Beaufort and Blake. They got a dress for every single occasion. Don't be caught out, spirit of the nation. Best in moderation, coming from probation, coming to save your fashionable equation. And if you want to hear something obscene, then you can get 50% off with Lash 15. Just go to the Beaufort and Blake website. Come on back now, you wanna look right.
Guys, until the end of the weekend, you can go to the Beaufort and Blake website and get 20% off everything. Trumping that 15%, no code required. Treat yourself. So, Archie, we have got an incredible guest on the podcast.
Yes,
one of the biggest names in rugby in the world.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to get a little bit emotional.
Really? Why?
He's just such a good lad. He's just such a good lad. You won't find this guy having any chat.
No,
tell you that right
you
now.
Won't. You
and,
won't
you know, he's a friend. He's I suppose, in a way, he's
a
colleague. Yeah, he's a really good friend, yeah. And in a way, a colleague. You know, we both admire each other's playing style. And, you know, he's coming on for his second cap. And I'm bloody excited.
And he's just seen Harlequins through to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you're welcome, Kersey, before we even speak to you.
Yeah.
But Danny Kerr.
Let's bring him in.
There he is.
Yes, boys. What's it? How are we?
Mate, very strong. I am, one way to describe myself, I am Rick, mate. I am Rick.
You boys look strong. That's a powerful polo you're rocking, mate.
Yeah. Beaufort and Blake. It's our sponsor for the podcast this year. So they're giving us just free stash. It was great. And it's great for golf, but it's also great for the guns. I've probably got a little bit to go, but I'm in pre-C.
Yeah. It's great to see your boys' faces. Honestly, I've missed you boys.
Well, Kersey, what a wonderful day.
Freddie,
it
I've
is.
Got to be honest, you don't look so good.
Well,
you look like you need some exercise.
I need a haircut.
Need some nutrition.
Yeah.
I could put you on a plan.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, Kersey can help me out as well. Your lid's looking amazing, Kersey, by the way.
Kersey, you're looking
I've
great.
Literally just had a tighten up today, boys. Yeah. So, yeah.
Really, really
fine.
I'm
feeling it. I'm feeling myself.
Mate, if me and you went out in Clapham now, but we closed down Northcote Road.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair. It actually wouldn't be fair. There would be no one left.
It's not fair. When we've got restrictions, when restrictions finish, maybe. Get Bridgie out as well. That guy seems like he can put away a few few drinks.
Yeah, Bridgie enjoys a beer. Let's put it that way.
Thank you so much for sorting that out. Massively appreciate that. He was
great.
No,
he was awesome. When he was a good, that was a great pod. I loved that one.
He was great. Well, firstly, Kersey, you know, you're back for your second cap. So congratulations, second cap on the Rig Biz. And of all your incredible achievements for club and country over the years, do any come close to the fact that you now have a Christmas number 10 hit to your name with It's Christmas Time, It's Time to Lash?
They don't come close to that feeling. That feeling I had on Christmas Day when I woke up and someone went, "You are number 10. Oof.
What a song.
Tell ya.
What a song. What a video. What a time to be alive during quarantine. That got me through quarantine.
It got a lot of people through. Yeah. Thousands. Yeah. It got thousands through.
Lyrically, it was superb.
Impressive. Incredibly impressive.
I wrote that.
Well, Kersey, you know, obviously we haven't spoken in a while. Have you been listening to the pod? you know, since we last spoke, we've now had quite a lot of your teammates on. So I imagine we're sort of played during the gym workouts, on the bus to big games, you know, to rile you up before when you're in the changing room before big matches.
Boys are big fans. Boys are big fans. Some lads haven't made the cut yet. If you're not that big a dog,
yeah,
you're not going to get on the Rigbiz pod.
People are scared to come on.
Yeah, I think so. I think people are scared to. They got to live up to a lot. I think I heard Jackman on there.
Jackman
was a little bit disappointed, to be honest. I thought he had a bit more about him.
Yeah,
but
I think
he tells an awful story. He tells an awful story. Yeah, when he tells a story, he's the guy that keeps going and going, and the nothing happens.
Chatshaw was pretty good. Chatshaw was great.
Lots of chat. Really lived up to his nickname. But
quite a lot of the younger Quins guys listen to that or follow me on Instagram. You got Lang, Marcus Smith, Mike Brown is yet to join the party. Ugo Monier did follow me, then left the party.
But
I think that's because he got quite a big corporate job. And I think he was worried that maybe, you know, being associated with me might bring him down.
Might drag him. Yeah. It's probably wise from Oogs, I'd say.
Kezzy, do you think there's any sort of correlation in the fact that more and more Quins boys are following the pod, following Archie Cousins' wisdom, and you seem to be having a sensational season? Champagne rugby.
Before we play every game, we stick on the pod. We say, how do we get up for this game? How are we going to go and score 48 points today? And we put the pod on, and then the magic just flows. So, yeah, you boys need to take some credit.
Yeah, I'm going to speak to the board about maybe taking percentage of something of the winning bonus. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the Quins guys, when you get to the final of the Premiership, my motivational CD-ROM. And you can put that on, and I've got, you know, it's an hour long inspirational.
Hour and a half, the new mix, I think.
Yeah, an hour and a half with music. Picture any given Sunday, but just 10 times better.
Oh, wow.
It's a shame that the Lions coaches weren't listening to Archie's motivational speeches, because all the pundits, all the fans, everybody wanted you to be on that tour to South Africa. Let's breach the elephant in the room. How gutted was it to hear the news that you weren't going to make the cut, and how did you find out? Did you have any sort of pre-warning, pre-the announcement or not?
Boys, we nearly got a Falcon on tour, didn't we?
Jesus Christ. We would have had two, but Archie made himself unavailable.
Yeah, I rejoiced.
Yeah, no. Yeah, family
stuff. And
I'm glad. I could see. Yeah.
Because if you weren't going, then I don't think I would have gone.
I really appreciate that. Now, lads, it was a really, really mad couple of months, because I've said it a loads. If you'd have asked me 3 or 4 months ago, you had a chance to go to the Lions, I'd be like, you're mental. Like, it's crazy. But for whatever happened, Quins started playing well. And then I got the letter to say you're in contention. And I was like, Jesus, you know, that's amazing. I've had 4 letters for 4 tours and I've never made a plane. So it was obviously amazing to get that and get that recognition when I haven't been playing for England for however long it's been. The day went how I expected it to go. I expected those three to be named because they played in the Six Nations and they played well. I thought I had maybe had a little bit of a sniff, maybe something a little bit different to what they've already got, but wasn't meant to be. Another heartbreaking day, not hearing your name read out. But there's some great boys on there on that tour, and I'm sure they'll go down there and do a great job.
Kezzy, on a sort of serious note, how do you sort of, I guess, deal with that and pick yourself up? Obviously, like, you know, old Clody said, you couldn't escape a newspaper article, a podcast. You know, I listened to your podcast where Oogs was talking about you. You know, they both selected you, the good, the bad, and the rugby pod, they all talked about you. Obviously, it's hard for you to escape that. Is it hard not to buy into the hype?
That was the hardest thing, mate, to be honest, because the last 3 tours I'd been playing for England, but no one was talking about me going on a Lions tour. So I was always like, lads, come on, I'm playing for England, I've got a chance.
Yeah.
But then this one, I hadn't played for England for so long, and then every 2 minutes I'm getting tagged in something, I've picked in another squad, and my mates are messaging me saying, your odds are down to 4 to 5. Like, we're lumping. You're going. It's happening. I was like, lads, honestly, I've not heard a single thing. Because that's the thing. I didn't anyway. I don't know the coaches that are in there. I don't know if other lads got some chat, but I heard nothing from any coach. So I had no idea whether I was even in the mixer at all or I was 6th or 7th choice. I didn't know. But that was the hardest thing. It's hard not to feel excited. And it was the hope that killed me, because of all those disappointments I've had of not being picked. I thought, maybe this year, you know, why would they send me a letter if I wasn't playing for England? And then everyone starts talking about it, it's hard for you not to think about it. And mate, honestly, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep for a week before because I was just like thinking about it constantly. I couldn't put it out of my mind. And then when it was now it's over, I can finally sleep now. That I know I'm not going, which is really disappointing, but I can actually sleep and enjoy myself again.
I kind of know how you feel, Kezzy, because, you know, four times I've applied for Soho House membership and four times I've been turned down. And the last time was quite similar to yours because I actually had a friend vouch for me that I actually worked in advertising. And I thought that was my moment. I was believing the hype. You know, I got a letter from Soho House saying they were, you know, they were really considering my membership. And, you know, I was talking to a lot of cheekers saying, why don't we go to the rooftop of White City and have a candlelight dinner? And it just wasn't meant to be. I was so prominent on LinkedIn. They checked it out and it wasn't meant to be.
No, I mean, it wasn't.
So, you know, yeah. But all I can do is keep doing what I'm doing, you know, and maybe, you know, hopefully my Soho House journey isn't over.
Keep knocking on the door, mate. I'm in the same boat. I'm still yet to receive a reply from Soho House.
That is unforgivable.
I can try to sort you both out. I am actually a member. So
that makes a lot of sense. You look unwashed and you sing and, yeah, you live a ridiculous
you
life.
You look like a member. You do, yeah.
Well, Kezzy. Yeah. Back to the rugby quickly. Obviously, Lions, big summer, but obviously, international rugby goes on. 2018, there was a bit of a public fallout with Mr. Eddie Jones. Has he been back in contact? You're playing so bloody well. Surely he's picked up the phone and said, Kezzy, shame about the Lions, but I want you in the squad for this summer.
No, I haven't heard from him in a while, mate. I don't know if he's lost my number. But no, I don't. I think unfortunately, that journey may have ended, which is sad. But I do feel this summer is the perfect opportunity for some young lads who have been dying to get a shirt, to get a go. We talk about a couple of the boys at our place, you know, Marcus Smith. I really hope that he's an incredible player. I hope he gets the keys to the number 10 shirt and he gets the opportunity to show the world what he can do. Because we all know how good he can be. But hopefully in an England shirt, he can take that attack to a whole new level.
Well, Kezzy, Mike Brown, amongst others, have criticised Eddie's handling of you back in 2018 after he seemed to sort of overly react when you stood up to him whilst playing for an England B team against Japan. What actually took place? Come on, let's clean this up. What actually took place between you and Eddie in 2018?
You are becoming the next Piers Morgan.
Thank you so much.
Well,
he's currently jobless, so that's not a great endorsement.
That's what I'm saying. You remind me of a Piers Morgan.
Okay.
A homeless Piers Morgan. Yeah, you're the new Soho journo, mate.
I know. That's basically the membership of Soho House. I think it's left wingers who just have no jobs or pretend to be left wing but have right wing parents.
Oh wow, okay, what was the question? My fallout
2018, mate, what happened really between you and Eddie? Did you stand up to him? You know, what did you take problem with?
It wasn't really a fallout. I just questioned the dropping of me from first choice to third choice and fully out of the squad after we'd beaten South Africa, we lost in the last minute to New Zealand, we just beat Japan. And then I found myself fully out of the squad, which I didn't agree with. And I'm not a person that can hold it in. I have to then, I asked a couple of questions. The questions weren't liked by the recipient. I haven't played for England since.
But Kezzy, so, is that a one-on-one meeting? Do you storm into Eddie's office and go, sit down, big boy, we need to talk?
I'm DC, as Wardy said. There's not much you can't do. You're the god. Listen, Jonesy, sit down. DC needs a word. You're talking about yourself in the third person.
Yeah, listen, EJ, the talisman needs a word. Yeah. The word is coming now. Mm-hmm. It was a private chat. And I won't go into detail of everything that was said in it. But it was all fine. We're amicable. I thought we were amicable anyway. I thought I'd get another opportunity to play in England shirt, but. But unfortunately, I didn't. And I do miss it. I miss everything about playing for England. It's the best feeling in the world. And I've not had that for a while. And I miss it. That's why I think to have the carrot of the Lions to get back in an international jersey would have been an unbelievable way to kind of end my journey in an international career. But it wasn't to be.
Kezzy, you can't escape that. Obviously, Marla's documentary is coming out about mental health, and it's seen so prominent now in rugby. And obviously, you know, we're continuing to do work with Restart Rugby, which is an amazing charity. And I know Mark Lambert, who used to work there, you know, it plays a big part in it. I saw him do 5K. I don't know if he did it. It would have been quite an effort. He looked like he might need to go to an A&E. He looked like it might have just been 1K. Or he's a serious smoker. I'm not sure. But I mean, obviously for yourself, you know, how much is like, you know, do you take time to take stock of where you're at? I mean, like, you're a well-loved bloke, you know, at Harlequins, in the rugby community, the people we interview, you know, Wardy, Benders, Hask, everyone talks so highly of you. You know, you've got a family, beautiful wife, you've got a new Instagram, the Care Home.
Yeah.
Care Home. Jumped 10 grand in one day. 10,000 followers.
10,000.
Kersey's an influencer as well. Have you had time to reflect? And although this disappointment, but you're playing, you know, arguably some of the greatest rugby of your career. You look like you're enjoying it. Harlequins are playing amazingly. Have you had time to reflect and be grateful for the things you got? Or is it too much at the moment? You're still in your career.
Yeah.
Basically, we love you, mate. We love you, mate. You're going to be all right. You're going
to
be all right.
That was really nice. Thanks, boys. Going back to the first thing, yeah, apparently Mark Lambert was one of the first people in the UK to be vaccinated because he fell into the vulnerable category. So yeah, I think he rolled most of the 5K, but he would love to go on this pod. He would love to come on this pod. He's a big fan. I think he skateboarded most of it, the 5K. But yeah, I feel that's really nice, lads. I feel the love there. I think rugby, we always say, is an emotional roller coaster. You have some of the most unbelievable highs, but you have some awful, awful lows. For me, on Thursday, hearing that team news read out was really low. It was one of my really low points. But what I do get to do is I get to play a sport that I love for a living. Like, I get paid to play rugby. So when I put things into perspective and I look at my kids, and my kids don't care about the Lions. My kids care about, hopefully, Daddy's going to be around in the summer to play with. My wife probably would like me to go for a couple of months, to be honest, but I think the kids hopefully would have preferred me to stay. And they, for me, give me the most amount of perspective because, you know, they just want to play with me. They don't care about Danny being a rugby player. They just want me to be fun and chasing around the garden. So, yeah, I'm very lucky to have a really good people around me, a brilliant family, great friends. I'm at a club that I love. Things aren't too bad, do you know what I mean? We have disappointments, but put it in perspective.
AC Limited is dedicated to bringing you the best banter out there. That's why we're launching the new app, Nickname 4.0, to give you those public school nicknames you wish you had. All you have to do is download the Nickname app from AC Limited, type in your name, and you'll be given your very own nickname by Mr. Archie Curzon. Let's see what happens when I put in mine. Freddy Claude.
Clodus.
Get that nickname you always crave now through the AC Limited Nickname 4.0 app, available on all app stores.
Kezzy, I was going to leave this to the end, but just to give you a nice surprise, I've had a chat with Max Evans, who I'm in regular contact with. One would describe that guy loose.
Fucking loose, yeah.
But we think, you know, when you're retired, you'd be a great candidate for Dancing on Ice. You've got the rig for it. Yeah. I think it's only a matter of time. Just let me know. I'll put the call in. Max Evans thinks he can get you in there. We've also got Monty Panesar on this season. So again, we can put the call in. So there's greatness ahead.
There's a very bright future, DC. Just quickly back to Quins. You obviously lost Paul Gustard, who I heard and read sort of from many players that he wound them up the wrong way. Obviously, there was a bit of a debacle with Mike Brown leaving the club or leaving at the end of the season. But the thing I was most interested by is the fact that the senior players seem to be taking training. They seem to be coming up the tactics. They seem to be running
Falcons do the same.
The Falcons do the same. But, you know, these guys are professionals. You're not. How true is it that you sort of go from being scrum half to also being head coach?
We are saying it's like the lunatics running the asylum at the moment, but for some reason it seems to be working. I think Guzzy was a brilliant coach, and he's a brilliant bloke, and he's going to be a brilliant coach and be really successful. I think he did some great things for the club. I just think it got to a point where he'd probably taken us as far as he could, and it needed some new ideas. And I think now we've got that. We've got we've gone back to our DNA, I think, a lot, which is, as Quinn's players, we like to show what we can do. We like to throw the ball around. We like to attack. We like to think that we could score more tries than people. So Guzzi was great for our defence. I mean, if you saw the game at the weekend, we scored 48, but we let in 46. Yeah, that's not going to win any championships, but hopefully fans and kids around will be inspired by attacking rugby. And that's the type of rugby and the brand that we want to play at Quinn's. But the players, the senior players have had to step up. Also the backup coaches, the sort of the Nick Evans of this world has had loads more license now to mould our attack. And, you know, for me, he was one of the best players I ever played with. To have his knowledge now as a coach is unbelievable. So, yeah, the main thing we're trying to do and rugby can seem all technical and it's gone so professional and everyone takes it so seriously. The main thing we've said at the club at the moment is to have fun. That's all we're worried about. Train every day, come in with a smile on your face, throw the ball around. We're going to enjoy each other's company. We're going to take the piss out of each other every day.
Yeah.
But when we get onto the pitch, we're going to embrace it. We're going to show people what we can do. And I think it's showing and it suits the players that we've got at the club.
It reminds me a lot of where I currently work because 2 years ago, we had a debacle where the non-exec board decided to bring in an HR to the company. And they said, you know, listen, guys, it can't be based on where you went to school. You know, we're going to give, you know, it's going to be equality. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was great. We got some great guys from up north who were, you know, very smart guys, but they just didn't know how to, you know, entertain clients. And in the end, we kicked her out and, you know, sexism is back. It's brilliant. And, you know, and the banter is brilliant. We shaved a guy's head in the office the other day.
In the office.
He loved it. Right, loved it. But we are performing so well. I mean, people are basically giving us money now.
Who needs coaches? Who needs senior management?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the truth.
Yeah.
But Kersey, talking about senior management, as a longtime friend and teammate of Mike Brown's, how gutting was it for you to see him leave the club or be leaving the club at the end of the season? And more importantly, surely you were somewhat disturbed by the manner of his dismissal.
Yeah, look, it's just the main feeling, I think, with Brownie leaving is it's sad. He was one of the reasons I came down to the club when I was 19. We played England under 21s together. And myself, Mark Lambert, Mike Brown. I think Chris Brooker was there. Alex Rogers. There was quite a few Harlequins. Chris Rob. Chatshaw was there.
Chris Brooker couldn't have been good with the birds.
No, good in a bar.
Yeah,
or a fight.
Fortunate looking
good
character.
In a bar or a fight.
Yeah, he wouldn't get Soho membership.
No, he would not.
No. Strong Bristolian accent.
He might work on the door there.
Yeah.
He might work on the door. But yeah, so and Brownie is an outlier in rugby. Like to play 350 games in the professional era for one club. And I think the chat is he averaged 79 minutes per game in that 350. So he isn't coming off the bench and playing 20 minutes.
Oh no.
This guy's playing week in, week out, and then you throw in 70 odd caps for England as well. He's a freak, but he's a freak because he is so professional. He off the field, he spends his own money paying for extra training, extra massages. He's got every bit of gear to make sure that he's fresh for each training session and each game. And it's so obviously it's sad to see a club legend like Brownie go. But Newcastle have got a hell of a player. I think he still could play for 3 or 4 years. I don't want to play against him. I might dodge that trip, to be honest.
DC, I was going to ask you, obviously we had old Benders, best mate. Benders, you're listening, mate. Hope you're all good. And obviously, I don't know if you listened to his last interview where he talked about Brownie. And, you know, we asked him, you know, who did you hate playing against? And he said, look, Brownie is the nicest guy off the field, softly spoken, wouldn't hurt fly. But on the pitch, you know, Benders said, look, I could have gone for him, mainly because he took his England spot. But, you know, what's the deal with him? When he crosses that white line, is it like me and Inferno's? Like I'm a different beast in that club, you know?
When you go through that long walkway, something just happens. Yeah. It was the same with me.
Normally you come down with Jordan Turner Hall and the fish tanks everywhere. And, you know, the bouncers are saying what? But I'm still focused on the cheekers. I just jump over you and I'm in there. I say, Kersey, I'll talk to you in the pod. There's cheekers to talk to.
Yeah. Put the fish in the drink like people were doing. Yeah. That's the best thing about it. They say people were saving the fish. People were putting the fish in the drinks.
DC, can you remind our listeners what happened that day? I mean, Ugo came on and told us the story, but what did actually happen? A bit of a sort of fisticuffs at dawn, and then you end up in a fish tank?
Yeah, it's pretty much spot on, yeah. I was dressed as a Mexican boxer. Jordan Turner Hall was something else. David Strettle was, I think, Ken from Street Fighter. He looked a bit like that anyway. Yeah. So he was just... And he, for some reason, we were wrestling. As you do in the top floor of Inferno's. And then he got me on the floor. And for some reason, he kicked me in the face. And then David Strettle was one of my best mates. I was like, so I stood up. I was like, Strettle, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, whatever, mate. And I was like, all right. And because I was dressed the part, I was feeling myself. I was dressed as a Mexican boxer. I had the sombrero on. I had the poncho. And I had gloves.
In character.
I was like, okay, he's probably going to have one. So, yeah, so he... So he took one in his oversized beak. And then we kind of just looked at each other. And it was at that point we thought this could erupt. And we just hugged. And that was it. So that was it. That was done. We were fine. But then this bouncer had seen it. This massive bouncer had seen it from miles away. Comes storming over. Grabs Stretz. And he's like, right, he's out of here. And I was like, hang on, mate. No, we're fine. We're mates. He's like, nah, not having it. So he got me behind, two arms behind my back. And he's like, look, taking me towards the top of those stairs. So I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be dangerous. So what did I do back in those days when I was in trouble? I shouted Jordan as loud as I could. And a Jordan Turner Hall comes running to save me as he did so often in those loose states. So Jordan came over, grabbed the bounce, was like, mate, nah, this isn't happening. Leave him alone, they're fine, whatever. And he was like, right, you're both going. And in one motion, he threw me. So he threw me down the stairs. And those stairs are big, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're big stairs. So as he's throwing me, you know when you're falling downstairs, but you keep running? Mm. So I was like, I was flying down these stairs. And he had hold of me and Jordan. So we all went as like a three. So we all pulled each other. And we're hurtling down these stairs in Inferno's. And I was like, all I could see at the bottom was this fish tank. And it was like a scene out of the movie where we all went smashing into this fish tank. The water went everywhere, took us back like a big blade. And then there was glass, there was blood, there was a bouncer like laid out on the floor, there was fish everywhere.
Oh my God.
I'd lost my gloves, my poncho, my sombrero. It all come off in the melee. So then I was a different person. So then I was like, what do I do? So me and Jordan scrambled, got ourselves out of there, ran down Clapham, got a taxi, got home. But we've always been allowed back in. They never... I don't know if they knew.
I've had a word with them. Kezzy, where are we going for end of season? That's what. Just let me know, mate. I've got a few offers at the top of the list so far. Coventry Rugby Club got in contact. They want me to come, but I said, listen, mate, your championship. I'm waiting for the big offer.
I will bring you 100% special guest to our end of season.
I can't wait.
That is incredible.
Fredster, you keen?
Mate, very keen.
Well,
mate, love. I'm a Wasp fan, but I'm very keen.
Have you got a pillow?
Okay, you can come and get filled in. That'd be fun.
Okay, brilliant, mate. I'm in. Kezzy, I don't want to break the magic because it's going so, so well at Quinn's, but let's look towards the future. When the Quinn's journey comes to an end, your good mate Chat Shaw's out in America. Obviously, he got injured. He's not doing much, complaining about life insurance and the like. But would you be tempted by a move to America? And if so, which city would you choose?
The LA Giltinis, I think, could be a bit of me. Yeah, I like the kit. I like they're playing the pink kit. They look like they throw the ball around. Gitto's out there. Ashley Cooper's out there. So it'd be a hell of a place to live. So, yeah, you never say never, mate. I've got one more year at Quinn's. But I feel like, obviously, the lockdown last year was really tough and really weird mentally. But I think mentally and physically for me, it did give me the break that I probably haven't had in a long old time. So I'm hoping that may have added a couple of years maybe on the career. So yeah, I feel fresh and I feel sharp at the moment. So hopefully I've got at least 2 or 3 years left.
Yeah. The camera's at a distance because I don't like people to see that. You know, I am getting some Botox. I just, you know, it's key to keep myself in good nick.
Have you had some done, Kezzy?
I've got someone that could look after you. No, I actually haven't. But
really?
My brother's wife has got her own sort of, she does that business on the side. She's a doctor, but my brother like can't move his face now when I see him. Like, what's going on here? No. So maybe I could sort you out.
It's the way forward. It's the way forward.
Well, Kezzy, talking about the way forward.
What we'll do is we'll go and do some Botox and then go on the social. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
And also, Bridgie could do with it as well. I've been looking at his content recently.
he's lost the plot.
He's looking like a walnut.
Well, Bridgie's full of it already. So yeah, he's struggling.
He is an extraordinary character. I mean, it must be unbelievable to be. I'm guessing you guys live near each other, but he just looks like he knows how to have a good time.
Yeah, no, he definitely does. He's not your stereotypical, I think, what people perceive a footballer to be. Like he's the most rugby playing footballer I've ever known. Like yeah. you would love him. Like a beer with Bridgie. Like he'll have a beer with anyone and he'll speak to you. And
mate,
he's a great bloke. Lovely family man. Yeah, we do get on really well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to retirement where we can spend a little bit more time.
Well, you know, when he came on, he told many, many a brilliant story. But the best one was probably the wedding when, you know, a whole host of things happened. Jordan Turnhall chundering, punch-ups, debauchery. I mean, what are your memories of that day? Did he sort of relay the events exactly, or was it slightly, you know, twisted?
A bit of spice.
Yeah, it was basically a stag. It was a three-day wedding, which turned into a stag. And Fodes is dad and his dad's mates are looser than any of the boys, so they were all naked on the stage at his son's wedding, all of him, his dad and all his mates. So that kind of says how loose looseness was encouraged, which we really liked. But it literally had everything. It had fights, and like when, you know, when Bridgie punched this bloke, the bloke deserved the punch, and it was a decent punch. And I think the bloke didn't think that Wayne would throw one. And boy, did he throw one. Yeah. Like it was deserved. So yeah, it had it all.
Most people I know that are called Wayne can punch.
Yeah, I'd go on with that.
We have got a new part of the podcast. Fred, I'll let you explain.
Lovely. Well, we got a new game, which we're calling Chat or No Chat, where we read out ex-players, teammates and the like, and you tell us how good or how bad their chat was.
Just chat or no chat.
Chris Robshaw.
Chat.
But Kezzy, you can't lie on this game. That otherwise, there's no point in playing.
Chris
Sorry. I thought you said no. Okay. Marcus Smith
needs to work on his chat.
Jamie Roberts.
Chat.
Eddie Jones.
Oh, no chat, mate.
Dylan Hartley.
Chat.
Mike Brown.
No chat. I heard he went... I'll say it because I heard he went on a stag and didn't drink. I heard I've got it from a good source. And that, boys, for me, put him down in his estimation. Great rugby player.
Let me tell you, that boy, when he does drink, can drink. He used to be very, very loose back in the day.
Yeah.
And then he changed and stopped drinking. So on a night out, yeah, sorry, Brownie, no chat. But when he does drink, chat.
Well, yeah, he gets into fights and it all sort of ravels apart. Stuart Lancaster.
No chat.
George Ford.
He's got no chat.
Ben Youngs.
No chat.
And then Mr. Owen Farrell.
No, boys, chat.
You're killing me here. Are we talking like nights out?
Mate, we're talking nights out. We're not talking calling, plays on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, when these boys do go and they do let loose, there's chat. There is chat. But it's once every blue moon.
Yeah, it's not great chat. Well, DC, just to finish up, if you can give us the one moment throughout your career so far, an incredible, wonderfully glittered career, you wish that you could relive again and again, and also the one moment that you wish you could banish from your memory.
Oh, there's a few of them. The one moment, if I could relive going into Eddie Jones's office, I would have maybe played it slightly different. I'd have maybe would have had a chance to play in a World Cup then. But at the same time, I believe I'm a man of my word, and I couldn't not say what I needed to say. So it's one of those. So that's probably works for both. But the best moment I've ever had is winning the league with Quins. back in 2012. I know it's a long time ago now, but for me, that doing it with my best mates and then the lash after was unforgettable.
Superb.
So loose. Well, Kezzy,
like Northcote Road on a summer's evening.
Yeah, Kezzy, are you going to come down to Clapham? I mean, you're not too far away, are you?
Boys, I'm down the road. I'm a stone's throw. So yeah, I'd love to come down.
We're gonna sort out the ultimate Rugbiz night. We're taking our clients on a night out they will not forget. We're gonna bring Wardy in from the cold. He's a great addition for a night out. With his red chinos.
He might smoke bomb at some point. He's in and he's out, Wardy. He's always in and out. It's just disappears.
He's got some dodgy dealings. and then Bridgie, Haskell. He has asked to be sponsored.
Dozer Jones wants back in.
Dozer Jones.
He wants to get back involved.
I saw Dozer Jones yesterday, lads. I saw Dozer Jones.
Look
yesterday.
At that rig.
Great boy.
Tom May. Oof. He's always up for it.
Yeah.
Anything. Anything media related. He's up for it.
He's up for everything.
Right. That's it.
Kezzy, thank you so much. You've been incredible, mate.
Boys, take care, lads.
Again, he's delivering on the field and he's just delivered on the podcast. I hope Warren Gatland listened to that podcast.
Yeah.
Because if he did, he's probably making a phone call saying, hey, Kezzy, I got it wrong. You would be great value in the squad. Also, can you bring our... No, I can't go. Gatland, no, I can't. The city is calling. But Kezzy, I think that would have got him on the plane. That would have got him on the plane. Clody, although it's pre-season, just how good was my banter calling that guy Pigeon Clapper?
Well, it was very good.
Seriously good nickname.
And also, nicknames have been pretty hot in the press this week. A lot of crazy nicknames being announced.
Mate, I saw on Haas shared that guy in Australia. Australians, mate, actually have really good chat. And that's why you find quite a lot of them move to Clapham. If I turned up in Sydney, I reckon I'd get to customs and they'd be like, you sure you're not Australian? I'd be like, no, I've just been born and raised in Clapham. They'd be like, right. Here's a green card. Well, stay for as long as you want.
Possibly, Archie. Well, inspired by that, I thought maybe we should put out to our listeners the craziest nicknames that they've given to their friends and teammates.
Oh, chat.
I'll read them out to you.
Oh, chat.
And you let me know what you think.
I'm ready for this chat.
What are your nicknames for your friends? What are your nicknames for your friends? What are your nicknames for your friends? The craziest nicknames for your friends. For your friends, or not I?
So to kick off, we got Ross O'Donoghue. He said, a lad turned up to his first away bus with us on a rugby away trip with a pack of white Maltesers for the bus. His nickname's now Racist Kev.
Chat.
Pud, a tight head prop that was round like a pudding.
Oh, rugby chat.
Telescope. Mate's cock folded back in on itself when he tried to have sex after 12 pints.
Oh, chat.
Thor, because he's got a massive hammer, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't. What does he mean?
I think he's got a massive dick.
Right. Okay. Small chat.
Broken Arrow. He didn't work well and we couldn't fire him.
Work chat.
Got a mate called Levi because he always left work at 5:01.
Don't get that chat.
The raisin. When we showered after games, his manhood looked like a shriveled raisin.
Oh, yeah. Shower chat. There actually is quite a lot of nicknames come in the shower.
Beaver, because he loves chomping wood.
Okay, sorry, I don't get that. What do you mean?
I don't think I can sort of spell it out on this.
Right. Okay. Unknown chat.
Milky works in investment banking, never sees the light of day.
We'll finish it there. That is some bloody good city chat.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you met that rugby player. Fucking see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you got pissed with that rugby player.
Archie, it is now time for another little installment of your favourite section of the pod.
Clubhouse Stories.
Clubhouse Stories.
Well, I absolutely love this point of the podcast. And you know who else loves it?
Who?
Liv Bentley,
really?
Ollie Locke, and his husband, Garth. Really? They regularly DM me on Instagram saying, keep up the good work. We absolutely love the pod. I'd love to do a live pod with them. They're such good guys.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Well, Arch, today we've got an email from Henry Lambe. We should say to the listeners that this little section for pre-season series 5 is about meeting rugby players on nights out and having crazy nights out.
And that is some of the best bits of banter you have with your mates, because I've got so many good stories about seeing rugby players out and about. Like, I once saw Dylan, well, I thought I saw Dylan Hartley. It was just a guy eating a Greggs in the van. But if it had been him, that would have gone down seriously well at the rugby club.
Well, Archie, today's entry comes from a certain Henry Lambe, and he goes as follows. Good afternoon, Archie. I hope this email finds you well.
Afternoon, and yes, it does find me extremely well. After a 48-hour fast, I feel brilliant.
I'm writing to inform you of an incident that occurred at Bournemouth Sevens Festival in 2019.
Oh my God, this is going to be mega. Bournemouth Sevens is the mecca for rugby banter.
With a professional rugby player that shall not be named.
Yeah, okay.
For this story's sake, we'll just call him Hames Jasker.
Ah! I see what they did there. They were actually being quite funny because they didn't want to mention it. But if you change the H and the J, James Haskell, a.k.a. The Fridge, a.k.a. Friend of the Podcast.
Well,
wait, I'll just tell everyone now. If you're driving, pull over, because if anything's involved with James Haskell, it's going to be fucking good chat.
Our team, the Trent House RFC, we're enjoying some post-rugby lash in BD with some lovely netball cheekers from Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I can imagine the setting. The beats going. I'm in there in my vest. I'm with these boys PDing. I'd probably be showing in my Instagram. That's how I sort of mainly get girls.
Okay. Well, the girls marveled at it.
I'm like, this is a video from 2019. I was talking about Infernos.
Well,
this is a video from May 2020. I'm still talking about Infernos.
Well, the girls marveled at our tales from the morning.
Right. Where we'd they like morning chat. I've got plenty of that.
We'd absolutely smashed the competition.
All right,
and then smashed them again when we got to the bar.
Oh, okay. These guys sound like really good lads. I like where this story's going.
All was well. LinkedIn connections were flowing aplenty.
Good.
When all of a sudden, James Haskell appeared, strutting past our table and towards the portable gents room.
Yeah, he does like to go to the loo.
One of our players, who we refer to only as the Bron, spotted Jaskell and decided this would be the perfect opportunity to seal the deal with one of the cheekers by having some great banter with Haskell.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that. But Haskell's on the way to the loo. That's dangerous.
Don't disturb him. Let him go.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's on a high-protein diet.
Confident, he swaggered over to Jaskell and delivered some premium chat about him being a terrible lad for not getting on the beers with us.
Okay, yeah. And I reckon any rugby player, if you said that to him, would really enjoy that. I might actually try that in the shit one time. If I see any of the Quinswords, I might be like, all right, why are you not getting pissed at us? We're like really good lads.
It was at this point that Jaskell looked up, spotted the table full of netball cheekers and the table full of nervous-looking boys who knew that the fate of their evening hung in the balance. He paused before swiping the Bron aside and telling him to fuck off back to the bin you crawled out of. It was a devastating blow.
I'll say that wouldn't happen to me and Hask. If I saw Hask, he'd probably say, do you want to come to the loo and I'll just chat to you while I'm on there.
Really?
But that guy, is there a video or anything like that?
There will be a video. Okay. Let's finish off. The Bron turned and sheepishly trotted back to our table, whereupon the netball cheekers suddenly told us that they all had to go to the bathroom en masse. And with that, they were gone, never to be seen again.
Right. Well, there are two morals of that story. You know, if you don't have good chat with Hask, then you're not going to be able to have good chat with girls. Fact. Okay. And second of all, can you write this down? I probably need you to be around a lot more when I'm going out, because I'm getting a lot more attention and there are a lot of people giving me that kind of chat.
Okay.
And I'd like you to capture it, because then people in turn could write in to the podcast.
So you could be part of the Rugby House Stories analysing your own chat.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Well, he finishes off by saying, I hope this story will serve as a reminder that meeting your heroes, however fridge like they may be, should sometimes be avoided. I also hope it will serve as some form of catharsis for the Bron, as he's truly never chopped a pint in the same way since that day. Love and champagne.
Right. Gonna give that 8 out of chat, but that LeBron guy, he needs to get a ticket to my next AAA, BBB, CCC course and sort his pitter patter out ASAP. What a preseason fixture!
It was just incredible to spend time with Danny Kerr. I mean, to be honest, he loves us.
Mate.
First time he came on, I wasn't so sure. But
that's the kind of preseason fix you want, mate.
Are you going to go to the end of season Harlequins party?
Probably.
Was that an invite or was that like a fake? Was that
No. I'd imagine a lot of those boys would want me there.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'd just bring up morale, mate. What I would do is I'd be the opposite of LeBron in the clubhouse stories. I'd like be giving it my energy to them. I'd be bringing the vibe up. And they'd just be like, beats going... And they would just be like cheering. And not because they've had a great season, just because I'm there.
Well, if they make the Premiership final, do you think you'll get invited?
Yes, 100%.
Are you sure?
I might get a spot on the bench.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's see about that, Archie.
But difficult pre-season fixture, mate.
Yeah.
Because you got Kersey there, you know well. You know the banter's going to be there. You've got to play what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And I think we did that.
Yeah.
And last week I said, you know, we just need to put the 1% in the gym.
You've got to delve a bit deeper.
Get that chat up a little bit, you know, just the tweaking little areas. I think we did that. We delivered. And now, you know, we come off the pitch and say, boys, that's the level. That's the level. We've got a couple more pre-season fixtures.
Yeah.
We've got a big one next week. You know, don't get complacent.
Well,
don't get complacent, guys, okay? And then I'd be like, have a good, enjoy the beers, but don't get complacent.
Okay, well.
Just see how serious I can be.
That was incredibly scary.
Yeah,
no, it did. Yeah,
actually
did. Well, next week.
And I can see that will bring your game up next week.
Well,
That's what I do.
I hope so.
I'm a man manager.
You're a motivator. Well, next week, you know, mentioning there, we do have a big interview with Maeve Madden.
What
who's
a chica.
An incredibly famous Irish fitness lady who's now taken everything in.
Maria, she reminds me of a West Side Story. Her name's not Maria.
No, but Maeve, it could be.
But
it
that's the kind of song. When you
that's
see
what you
her,
feel like.
Maria,
yeah.
Maria. She reminds me of a West Side Story. Nickelback should cover that. If they did that, they'd be top 10.
Well, okay.
They get a top 10 single.
Yeah,
write that down. We'll write an email.
Okay. All right. We'll
write an email to Chad Kruger.
Well, guys, don't forget.
Has he responded to any of my emails?
He hasn't yet, no.
God, that's Hollywood for you.
Well, guys, please don't forget to go get involved in all the incredible offers from Manscaped and Beaufort Blake. You find the links in the bio. Guys, come on. Summer's here. Sort out the bush. Sort out the nose hair. And go get some incredible clobber for Beaufort and Blake. You can finally get out the house and date. Unlike Archie, go and enjoy life. Go get out there.
I have a great life. Really? What are you alluding to?
Well, you've been by yourself for a while.
Mate, I know I went over my calorie counter, okay? I've held myself accountable. I've had a 48-hour fast. I've got myself back on track. It was nearly as tough as my Christmas Day fast, which was bloody tough, but mentally made me a stronger individual. But before we go, we must mention tickets for Inferno's, the live Rigbiz podcast, 21st of June.
21st of June.
At Inferno's, live with me, Archie Cousins, CEO of Clapham, and the Chief Chat Officer.
Our first live pod ever.
Yes, and Freddie Claude will be there.
Thank you very much.
And our first ever guest, legend, Freddie Burns, a.k.a. Burnsy.
Most cat player.
It's going to be some incredible chat.
He can't wait to get this.
And one hell of a night.
Well, also,
how many tickets left?
About 30 odd.
Oh my god! If the person listening to this probably missed out.
No, I completely agree with
you. Mate,
depends what time
you're
you listen to it.
You're a dick. Person listening to the podcast probably gone on the swipe up, tried to find tickets, sold out, and he's thinking, "Ugh, we told you about it last week."
Shouldn't have been so
probably,
slow.
Probably lives in Putney.
Completely agree with you. Well, guys,
if that's the case, we don't want you there.
If those tickets are still available, go to the website, Design My Night through the links or on Archie Swipe Up and get involved, because not only do you have an hour and a half of live pod with Mr. Freddie Burns, the most kept player, but also you get 5 hours of clubbing in the best nightclub.
Free entry. Oh, my God.
Best nightclub in London.
I cannot wait to get in there.
You'll be clubbing with Archie Cousins
all night. I'm bringing my 300 kit.
Really?
Yeah.
God, that's going
to
be brilliant.
That was going to be a surprise.
Well, guys, if you want to see Maeve Madden next week and come to the clubbing night in a couple of weeks in the live pod, we can't wait to see you. But until then, the sun is out, behave yourself, and we'll see you all next week. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy.